Hello and welcome to Up the Smut Podcast. Michaela is back.
Woo!
She is not dead, for those of you who were wondering.
And wishing.
Yeah, and wishing she was dead. Ha! She's not. She's alive and she's looking like she's recovering from COVID.
Yeah.
She got her hair done. She's looking fly as hell.
No, I was doing this face before to because I had my hair like brushed. I got my Draco Malfoy on. I was like, look at me. I look like Uncle Fester. And Kate's like trying to tell me something important. I'm like, I'm not Uncle Fester. I'm like, can you just pay attention to that really quickly? Like,
acknowledge
this is comedy, okay? This is slapstick. Appreciate it. All right. Your mother wasn't giving you that when she had to fill in. Bless you, Mary. But I didn't see her doing an Uncle Fester impersonation.
No,
would you fuck Uncle Fester?
You didn't see her at all. This is a podcast, but so you don't know. She could have been doing it in the background of the episode, and you would never have known.
Well, so I hope that she was, because I think that if anyone could pull it off, it could be her.
Now we need to have her back on. She's going to read Morning Glory Milking Farm, and then we are going to interview her about it. So, yeah. And you can be on that podcast because I know that you are obsessed with my mother.
Yeah, I love her. It heals my own mother wound when I talk to a mother who is not a complete fucking loser.
She's just a loser in the best way.
Exactly. Like, yeah, 100%. How have you been? You've missed me terribly, obviously.
Yeah, it was very strange. We actually barely communicated like via Instagram too, honestly, because you were just in like a fever dream for three weeks.
I was fucked. I was in bed for 10 days. So basically what happened, like the last time you guys heard from me, I had recovered from COVID, still had the like gross voice and stuff. Like my voice is never good at the best of times. Let's be fucking for real. And then I had what is called a rebound. So the virus basically reactivated itself in my body and my body was like speed running COVID.
It was like, we cannot do this a second time.
I was like, I was literally like crying. I never cry. And I'm like telling Kate, I'm like, oh my God. And she's just like, Jesus Christ. Like she didn't know what to do because obviously Kate's just like, what the fuck?
And I'm in like a different continent in a different time zone.
Exactly.
I was like, I can't help.
Yeah. I was just like, I'm like, she's like, I got my own problems. Like you were pregnant. Like people didn't know you were pregnant until then. So you're still pregnant, obviously.
Every day I like make an offhand comment about being pregnant and there's people who are still like, I didn't know you were pregnant, and I'm like, guess you should have watched The Real, bitch.
Exactly.
I know the algorithm's fucked, so I'm not.
If you actually listen to old episodes, like you can hear me being mean to Kate about her being pregnant. Like I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have a margarita, I might have a cigarette, and Kate's just like, that's nice. That's really nice. I'm like, wouldn't you just love to have a marg? Like that would be so delicious. And she's like, yeah, that would be really cool, Michaela.
She's been bullying me for months and months.
Bullying works.
She knew. Michaela was literally here and the night before I took a positive pregnancy test. And I was like, bitch, I think I'm pregnant.
And then I was like, Jesus Christ, how am I going to run things without you? And I was like, congratulations on getting cream pied. I kept threatening to get Kate a shirt for the pregnancy announcement to just have on her husband saying, I am the cum man. And she was mortified by that. Yeah, so that never happened. She just did a reel. Like my daughter kept being like, is she going to tell people? I'm like, it's a fucking secret. It's a private little secret until we get to a certain point.
Did you show Winter my reel though?
Yeah, she loved it. She thought it was so funny. And then she was just like recreating it herself. I was like, not until you're 16, like the rest of your family.
It's tradition.
Yeah, it's like teenage pregnancy runs rampant in my husband's family. Like, I'm not even kidding. His great grandmother is younger than my father. I've told you this. Yeah.
They're all
gargoyles and sluts. That's fine, though.
Ooh, they're remaking the Gargoyle show, though.
I did. I was like, Kate, get on it. Like I tagged her on Facebook like a fucking boomer. I was like, look. I don't know. Like we'll probably get kicked out of the cinema for masturbating when that comes out. So that's another bridge to cross together. Is it going to be live action? If it's live action, count me in. Henry Cavill, every man who's on steroids in Hollywood, assemble. Like, let's get this done.
I wonder how the strike is going to affect that.
Oh, okay. So this is the other thing, because, you know, obviously, like, I think that our listeners also realize, I saw this amazing TikTok. I also love how every important piece of information I say, I'm like, I saw this on TikTok. Like, that is my Bible now. And then I try to, like, figure out what's going on in the world through memes, because I, like, don't want to watch the news. But they were talking about how, remember the first writer's strike, like, back in the day? Heroes, casualty of it. Supernatural, like, Supernatural was supposed to end season 5. That shit got, went, like, how many seasons was that? 18? I've actually just started watching
it. It should have ended season 5.
Yeah. Well, I just started watching it again from the beginning, because I got up to season 4 a year and a half ago, tried to turn it on the other day, couldn't remember anything. So I was like, I'll just start from episode 1 again. But obviously, like, Supernatural is a show, they hate women. There's no women that don't die on that show or are demons.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's a topic. So yeah, the writer's strike.
Gives more screen time to hot men, which I'm like, okay with.
Well, you know, I mean, like, are they hot? There is actually this one blooper in Supernatural that really took me out of the show, and I've never forgotten it in the 4 years since I first watched that episode. It's in season 1, and Jensen Eccles, who plays the older brother Dean, is looking at something on a table, and he goes, "Jared, look at this," which is the name of the actor, not the character. Yeah.
Gasp.
The things that I, like, honestly, could I not remember something important, like, to be a lawyer or a doctor? I just want to remember something from Supernatural, a show that I probably shouldn't even be watching.
Why is it, like, I've done this a couple times now where I watch a show and I stop at season 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be like, it sucked. And then I go to start it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I still only make it to season 5.
Yeah.
And I do Dexter. I have tried to watch Dexter from start to finish 4 times.
Yeah.
I always end with the, like, killer who, whatever his name is.
The one who, John Lithgow.
Yeah.
Third Rock from the Sun. What was he called?
Not I was going to say Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
So the point was of me talking about the writer's strike as well is that this is actually when reality TV took off. Think about the timeline trajectory of this. We have the writer's strike to thank for the fucking Kardashians. So think about that. Give them their fucking money, because God only knows who's going to fucking climb out of the woodwork and we're going to have to put up with in 10 years' time. Pay people for art. That's all I have to say.
Mic drop. Like,
mic drop. Like, it's like, what? Like, we're going to give their fucking kids a TV show now? Like, God only knows. If you've been here for any amount of time, you know how I feel about the Kardashians. And Jeff
almost Bezos. We're doing shots with every Jessica Kane mention, but we should be doing shots every time you go on a rant about billionaires.
Or the Havoc Boys. That's another one, the book series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So what did you do when you got sick on your deathbed? Can you share with the crew the horrible path that you took?
This is really, really rude and embarrassing as well. I was so emotionally depleted, so vulnerable, so unwell, so delirious with fever that one morning I woke up and said to Katie Cakes, if Libby has ACOTAR on audio, I am going to borrow it. And then I sang a song, My Salvation, and it was just that. And they had it. So I read the first 3 ACOTAR books. Well, I listened to them. Well, that is reading. And I have some thoughts on that. Now Kate has to read them so we can discuss them.
Yep, we'll do an episode.
My thoughts are complimentary. I'm going to tell you that for free. Every time I read some of those books, I'm like, I have been sent a book. Like, this is not the same book that everyone else is reading. I believe that book is a changeling. Like, a fairy has snuck into my house and they've just put something else in there. This is a true belief that I have. I'm like, this is not the same book that everyone else received. Well, I'm like, who is reading this? And I was taking notes in my notes app during my delirium while I'm, like, listening to fairies fucking doing whatever they're doing. And I haven't even looked at it since then. My first note, and this is from the 3rd of July when I'm laid up in bed for 10 days, guys. I would kick the fuck out of Nesta. That's it. That's my first thought. And then this one. This is after, but with wings. My third thought is Feyre is an IBS girly. Because they always say that Feyre is like, and then her bowels turn to water. And it's like, I just imagine Feyre just blast an ass left, right, and center. Like, she is such an IBS girly because her stomach always drops out, or, you know, like, her, you know, guts churned, curdled, like the food curdled in her stomach. So, yeah. Drop me a line if you think that Feyre is also an IBS girly. I'm a tummy ache girl. I'm not an IBS girly, though. Kate is a headache girl. That's how we're unstoppable together. Perfectly complementary.
The best of friends.
We're the two best friends that anyone ever had.
You asked how I am doing, though.
Yeah, how are you doing? I've had the brain cell, so I'm going to hand it over to Kate. So bong, pong, there you go.
Thank you. Got over poison ivy. It's literally like my last 3 days of poison ivy. My skin, I haven't actually itched today. I have scars, though, if you didn't know that was a thing. I didn't. Just scars from like literally the blisters that formed.
One of them is emotional because I did keep calling her Blinky Bill. I will cop. That was bullying.
My emotional scars. I was like, wait, why? Yes. I honestly, I'm never going to fuck. I'm suspicious of every plant now.
Mm.
I was never suspicious of plants before. Mm-hmm. Now I know what poison ivy looks like. And I saw it again the other day. And I was like, fuck you. So, but of course, I'm healing from poison ivy. I'm about to go on vacation. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to invite my mom out to lunch. Literally, this is last Friday. My husband is down doing work, quote unquote work, which was just shooting golf balls off of the top deck of Wrigley Field.
Beautiful.
Which is like a huge baseball field here. But yeah, that's his work. So I was like, okay, I'll just grab my mom. We'll go out to lunch and donate some clothes to a charity.
Oh.
I walk out the door, I trip over my son, and I tear a ligament in my foot.
Mm.
So I'm driving. We were already getting in the car. So I'm like, it hurts really bad, but I'm functional. I'm like, I got to get out of here before I get unfunctional. Mm. So dysfunctional. Unfunctional sounds more like what I mean. So I'm driving and I'm crying and Remy's crying, my son. He's like, and I'm trying to call my mom and it's not ringing, but apparently it connected. And all my mom hears on the other side of the phone is me sobbing and me just saying, no, you don't get to cry. I get to cry. It's my turn to cry. I want Nana too. We both want Nana, but she's my mom. Like, I'm like having a fucking like third degree meltdown in the front seat because my foot, I'm worried I like broke my foot. Like, it hurts so bad. We get to my parents. I put my foot up. My mother-in-law is a podiatrist. Like, thank the Lord. So she gets me in for an appointment, like, immediately. But it's just like – and then we go on vacation. So my mom had to drive me because my husband and I were driving separate. And I was just like – so I'm wearing a boot now when I leave the house for, like, the next – it's been a week. The first 2 days, I used a walker. Mm. She lent me a walker.
And I was your son kept taking it.
Yeah. And my son kept taking it away from me. So then I couldn't get up and he would mock me. He would go, mama, jump, and like pretend to be me in the walker, which was just disrespectful. But he's not even two. So I'm letting it slide.
I wouldn't.
But I was like, this sucks. I was like, this fucking sucks. But what better time to be injured than vacation and being pregnant? Everybody was just like,
the other really good part is that your husband had to go home halfway through the vacation. Oh, yeah. So the care of your toddler who had tried to fucking kill you.
Yeah. Not only did he kill me, but then he mocked me.
Yeah. Well, no, this is the best thing. So like my son, when I was pregnant with him, I nearly died like four times or five. Like, it depends who you ask. I say four. My husband says five. Anyway, so the best thing that you can do, he's eight now. And I still am like, bro, I fucking nearly died because of you. So this is like, you're like, remember that time? You'll be pulling this one over him forever and ever.
Then we have video footage, not of me getting hurt, but we have video footage of him mocking me. So
yeah,
exactly. We'll see how his second birthday goes. In like 100%,
100%.
But yeah, so that was my vacation. Everybody took care of me. Everybody like took care of my son. I got to relax more than usual.
Good.
And it was great. But my foot is like still, it's like all bruised. It still hurts. Ooh. I'm like, not only am I like very pregnant, but I'm like, I'm actually waddling now. Like actually waddling.
Yeah. So, well, that's probably the best part is like you fuck up your foot and then you have to push a person out of your vagina.
Yeah. This, it better fucking heal. I know it's 2 months away before I, that too. But no, this foot, like, I actually tore the muscle in both my heels giving birth last time. Sorry to anybody who doesn't want to hear very specific details of my birthing process. I actually talked about it on vacation and my dad left the room. He said, nope, I'm not doing this. And he just left.
So Remington Senior.
It wasn't even that graphic. I wasn't even like talking like super graphic. I was just like talking about contractions. And my dad was just like, I got to go. I cannot. Mm.
Mine came out the side door. I had the C-section. Yeah. So could tell you all about that. It was like,
so your vagina is pristine is what I'm hearing.
Perfect. She has never been better, baby. I let the doctors do the heavy lifting. So it was, you know, that's fine. I was high as a fucking kite during my first one. That was funny. I did not know up from down. It was crazy. But yeah. Okay. So what are we actually here for? Because it's been 17 minutes of us just being hot girl chatting.
Yeah, honestly, that people missed you, so I'm sure they're not complaining about it. We were just going to talk about some of our latest 5-star reads and then maybe some of our latest not 5-star reads, just catching you guys up on where we've been, because we do a lot of theme episodes and stuff, which is great, but then you guys kind of miss out on what we're currently reading, which is a bummer, because sometimes what we're reading is really good, but it doesn't fit any theme.
100%.
So... yeah. So, I mean, but you've been like hella laid up. So, obviously, ACOTAR is not a 5-star read. So, what has been a 5-star read?
Nothing this month. I've like, this has been a month of bullshit because I've been coming out of brain fog.
Well, you don't want to read a great book when you're like super, super sick. Like, I'm sorry, but you need to be at full mental capacity to take in an amazing book.
I know. And I'm never at full mental capacity. You know what I mean? I'm a dumb, dumb, silly bitch. Like, you know, Silly Goose University, back in the pond, baby. This month I have read nothing but shit books. I've been reading the ACOTAR. So I read, was it ACOTAR War? That's how I started the month, the last book. And I guessed what was going to happen. And my friend was like, how did you guess that? I was like, bitch, this is Sarah J. Maas. All of her books are the same. And then I've been reading the Devil's Night series by Penelope Douglas because for some reason.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. Because I talk shit on that in the last episode, the dark romance one, because the guy's name was Michael. And then I also had this story up how I said that, like, we as a society, I'm so happy that there's not a song change every 10 pages like there is in The Devil's Night. It'd be like, I was walking down the street and then all of a sudden, like, this, you know, Disturbed song came on. It's like, oh, my God, who cares? Like, you know, I'm not telling people that, like, I'm off to the shops and I've got fucking Bubblegum Bitch by Marina and the Diamonds on and, like, my Lana Del Rey. It's, I don't know.
Yeah. For sometimes, me, like, specificity is tolerable. And then sometimes it's like the word, like it takes me in 100% out. And I feel like music is usually that. Yeah. I just, it, not only that, but it alienates a large portion of your readers because I just don't believe that most of your readers have the same taste in music as you.
Exactly.
So unless it's Taylor Swift lyrics, in which like case, I believe that 100% of people at least recognize them. Michaela's like, I would at least like, I still wouldn't like it in there. But I would recognize it. But or worse, when they make their own songs.
Yeah. Like when Glee started doing original songs, like what the fuck was that about? What I actually appreciate is when there's a song, like, you know, there's the list at the front or the back of the book, and then the author can sort of weave in like the music changed and the beat dropped. Like you don't have to specify what song it is. Like if you want to say there's a fucking song playing, like, okay, well we can sort of see what point of the story we're at with this.
Yeah. Give me the vibe of the song, exactly. But there's no like to build, you know, suspense or whatever, but I don't need to know the specifics. It's the same with outfits. Like I don't need to know brands. I don't need to know, like, just say you're wearing like a blouse and slacks. That's really all I need. Or, you know, like if it has weird cutouts and it's pertinent, sure. Is she wearing a bra? Yes. I would like to know if there's nipples showing. That's like just my, I need to visualize. But yeah, I don't mind when they put a song at the top of the chapter.
Yeah.
And they're like, this song is the vibe of this chapter, because I will just ignore it.
Yeah.
But if you're going to put that shit into the story I am forced to take in with my eyes, I'm going to be mad because my taste in music is weird.
And yeah, I have no taste in music. All I listen to is, like, I literally walked down the aisle 11 years ago to Lana Del Rey. Like, that's the sort of girl that I am. Do you know what I mean? And now these...
Who did I walk down? Let me see. I'm going to look up the song I walked down the aisle to. I don't know who wrote it. I heard it in a store, and I went, that's a good song.
Perfect. I actually saw this guy...
Bright Eyes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
First Day of My Life by Bright Eyes.
Oh, cute. That was cute. My aisle song. Little emo girl from MySpace. Yeah. Aren't you? Little cutie. Little cutie. What's a good book that you've read lately?
Okay, well, I feel like I actually went back through my Goodreads. Michaela saw me because I was doing it right before we pressed record. And I am at 21% of my Goodreads reading challenge. 21%.
Yep.
That's not, it doesn't matter, obviously, in the grand scheme of anything. But not great for me because it's July.
Mm-hmm.
If I was on track, I would be at 70% of my fucking goal.
Probably. Okay, but catch you, like, okay, this is the other thing though. Like, Kate reads like a motherfucking demon when she's nursing. So I'm just waiting for this, like, next crotch That's goblin true. To come out, and she is going to be like a milking farm with a baby on her titty, and she's just going to be smashing her Kindle.
I did read 38 Ice Planet books, like, while I was, or not just Ice Planet, but Ruby Dixon books. Like,
okay, but in how many days? 9 days.
No, yeah, it was like, I read like 2 a day.
Yeah.
But now I have a toddler and a baby, so I think it's going to be, I read a lot at night, like at 3 a.m. when I have a baby attached to my boob, but I don't, I guess we'll see.
Okay, we'll see. But also consider that it's going to be getting cold and he'll be doing indoor activities.
True.
See, this is me, the mother of two, like the veteran. Like, you sort of remember
these ignore him.
100%, 100%. Give him the iPad. iPad kid. I'm an iPad kid. My kids don't have an iPad, but I'm like, I need my serotonin.
Yeah, your mental health comes first.
I don't have any mental health, which is why it needs to come first. It's the Prozac that keeps me going.
Self-care.
Self-care, hashtag.
Yeah. but so I feel kind of bad because I feel like the books I'm going to talk about are books I have talked about frequently on my stories lately and in my, I don't know, on the podcast probably. But I just haven't read that many 5-star books. So since April, 5-star books since April. And I am not stingy with my fucking 5 stars.
Yeah.
At all. I am like, if I would reread this book, it gets a 5-star.
Yeah.
If I loved it, but I wouldn't reread it, like it just didn't capture me in that way, 4 stars. Mm-hmm. But I reread a lot. So pretty much a lot gets 5 stars. Let's see though. Obviously, and I've talked about this like 15,000 times, The Wolf at the Door by Charlie Adhara. Which is that MM shifter, like werewolf shifter series. It's like 5 books.
Yeah.
Somebody brought it up to me the other day. They were like, thank you so much for recommending it. It was amazing.
Yay.
And I was like, great. Now I have to fucking reread it. Like, thanks a lot, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Stop DMing me, telling me you love my recommendations because whatever you loved, I now have to reread.
To double check that she loves it, even though she knows she does.
I just have to make sure. Now it's in my brain. No, I'm just kidding. Feel free to keep DMing me. I love rereads.
Unless it's a fucking weird man. Some of you have been real fucking out of pocket lately if you're listening to this. Honestly, that's like, that's fucked.
Seriously. Oh, yeah. I don't think, I did post that one. I'm going to pull up my screenshots. I did post that one on Facebook or on stories. I'm like, why? If you enjoy following me, why would you ever DM me something disgusting? When if you follow me, you know I instantly block those people. Mm-hmm. So if you enjoy following me, keep your disgusting shit to yourself.
Mm-hmm. You will not this be guy, following me any longer, she says.
Yeah. It's just like you're just ruining it for yourself. Like, what's your problem? This guy, who I had had conversations with before that were totally normal conversations. Mm-hmm. Totally normal conversations. Oh, wait, no, sorry. I'm mixing up the two guys. This guy, no conversations with. But this is the guy who had his wife in this profile picture. And he said, and I quote, I follow you because it's my version of reading a hot novel. And that line about licking you really got me. The line he's talking about, by the way, is a joke I put up about how I want someone to lick me like the Jeepers Creepers monster licks the window in the first movie.
I actually did tell her that she was sick for that one. Yeah. That was too much.
I copied it. I screenshot it from another page. So it wasn't my own disturbing thought. It just
She does want the Jeepers Creepers monster to do that. That's the actual thing.
He's a little bit too terrifying for me, but I did guffaw when I read it. He said, "It's my fantasy, and I want your hands pulling my head into you while you move faster and faster over my mouth."
So this is a Wendy's.
And I didn't even respond. Instant block. Block.
Foul.
This is the guy. This is the other. I feel like I was supposed to be giving you recommendations and now I'm just reading you guys my filthy DMs. This is the other guy. This is the guy I'd had previous conversations with. Apparently, I don't just discuss people's dicks with them. So like right off the cuff of this DM, I was like, do you have the right person? Like, I mean, I've had conversations about penises as long as it's not like crossing a line. I've had like sometimes guys, and they're probably fishing, but they'll be like, do you have any recommendation? Like, would you ever read a book where a guy had a small dick? And I'm always like, yes, dick size does not matter to me in books. If it ends there, fine. I know they're probably hoping I'll like engage in a humiliation kink or something, but I'm always very positive and pleasant. I'm like, all dicks are great dicks. Well, that's a lie. I mean, not all dicks are great dicks. Like, some dicks are weird and like gross. Honestly, I don't want to look at any dick. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm not a doctor. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I'm also not a sex worker who would give you services for free. Because that's what a lot of these people are trying to do.
I mean, what sex worker is giving out services for free anyways?
Exactly. It's like paying people for the job they're fucking doing.
Yeah. Honestly, my husband a couple times has been like, you should just charge them for like DMing 100%. You gross stuff.
100%.
Just make money off it. But anyway, so this guy said, hey, we used to DM on a diff account, but I had to delete them because my girlfriend saw, LOL. I have a big dick and it was always fun, implying that we talked multiple times about his dick. Always fun talking with you about it. What's up? And I said, I only talk to guys with small dicks now, actually.
Small pee-pee club.
But I'm like, I had so many questions because I'm like, I have no recollection. Like, one, if that was true, then tell me what your previous account was.
Yeah.
I probably blocked you. And like now you're trying to like slink back in. But also, I am a female supporter. I love women. I would never DM like after you tell me your girlfriend was uncomfortable with it. Like if it's like a kinky thing and I was into that, then I have no problem with open, like women and men having open relationships. But I'm like, I would never, like, you just told me your girlfriend's uncomfortable with it. And didn't like it. So like extra fuck off. Like what the fuck? But I just blocked him. I obviously I had to put my quip in. And then I blocked him. And then he found my other account. That's the risk you run of having multiple accounts with the same name. Yeah. And he said, did you block me?
I'd have been like, yeah, babe. And then blocked him on that one too.
I didn't even respond. I just blocked because he was in my message request. But I should have. That's a regret I have. But I read it to my husband and he was just like, what the fuck? What? It was just like, if you think I blocked you, how like into humiliation do you have to be to then drive that point home? You know, come into my other account asking if I blocked you. I obviously blocked you. And why are you surprised? Yeah. That was the worst part. Why are you surprised that I blocked you?
I finally got my first, like, well, not my first, but like a one in recent memory, because I'm not a very approachable person. I was like laid up with COVID the first time before I had the rebound, and this guy DM'd me, and like, cause we're all home, we're quarantined, and he's like, hey, I was like, oh, fucking hell. Like, I was like, oh, and then he sends a picture and I had to like accept the message request to see the picture. And it was a selfie of him, like, you know, loose.
I hate that because I want to know what the picture is, but I don't want to accept the
100, right? Like, so, and then I was like, okay. I was like, I didn't say anything. I just go, he goes, you're gorgeous. I said, what star sign are you? He says, Cancer. I blocked him. But before, like, I showed my whole family. Like, I called my son out from his computer. I was like, come look at this. He's like, who's that? Like, telling this 8-year-old, like, I'm like, look at this fucking loser. Like, you're gorgeous.
Don't ever be this guy.
I'm like, I have a global pandemic running rampant in my body. Like, I am the vessel for fucking coronavirus. And you're gorgeous. I'm like, cunt, I've got a fucking butterfly filter on my face. Like, what? There's no one else for you to harass today. Today is not the day, and I am not the one.
Sometimes they just get you on a bad day.
Every day is a bad day for me.
On a good day, I'll toy with them. Like, on a good day, I will, like, play so fucking dumb.
Like, to play with them.
They'll be, like, straight up, like, what do you think of big dicks? And I'll be like, I guess I don't really know what you mean. Like, just to get good content for my page, you know?
All for the gram.
I'd be like, all dicks are good dicks. Like, they're fictional. And he'd be like, no, what about mine? Can I send you a picture so you can rate it? I'm like, oh, I'm not really a good judge of character when it comes to dicks. Like, I only ever see one and I'm married to it, so.
Let me ask my husband what he thinks of your dick.
That'll be the next. I should be like, hey, my followers have requested I start putting the shit in my stories. Can I have them rate it publicly?
Yeah, I just need your consent for that.
Yeah.
So just let me know.
I'll put a little emoji over the pee hole.
Yeah, just
to keep it classy. Oh my god. Yeah, if you cover the pee hole, immediately it becomes PG.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a sausage. What are you talking about?
Yeah. It's a sea slug.
Okay, so what's another book, though?
Okay, yeah. So, anyways, yeah. Again, if you've missed out the 18,000 times I've talked about the Wolf at the Door series by Charlie O'Hara, that's not the name of the series, but that's the first book. It is spectacular. It's like an FBI agent and then a BSI agent. That's like the werewolves are like a hidden shifter group. And he gets attacked by a werewolf and he gets brought into the fold, like this magic shifter fold. So each book is like another mystery. So it almost reads like a cozy mystery series, but like with lots of fucking. Woo! Anyways.
I love
that. The other one, and I talked about this during my... Maybe it was just during my Patreon episode, actually. Berries and Greed by Lily Maine. This is a book that I can see people being very divided on just because of not the actual content, but the way she wrote this book. Compared to some of her other ones, there was a lot. It was a very relaxing read. Like, there are scenes where she is just describing what they are watching on television. Like, they're cuddled on the couch, they're ordering takeout. Like, there is a lot of like what other people might consider filler, but what I thought kind of just fit the vibe, this gentle vibe of the book. And it is about a woman named Beryl, who is a human woman, and she lives in a sex cult. She is 38 years old. Her aunt was in, like, runs the winery for this sex cult. Mm-hmm. So they don't actually, like, believe in it. But Beryl came to live with her after her parents died. And she has just grown up in this cult where they believe. And I don't know how to pronounce the monster's name. But in my head, it's like a demigorgon, basically, is what I pictured from Stranger Things.
Never seen it.
But, like, they have an actual face. Like, that's not what the monster looks like. But the name of the monster was, like, Demigurgis or something. And so then I just kept thinking about a demigorgon.
It auto-corrected. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he, like, this whole sex cult is dedicated to these monsters and, like, becoming their mates. And they live mostly in, like, an underground city or whatever. But what's the other one's name? His name is Greed. And Greed's girlfriend breaks up with him. And he is super introverted, but he's lonely. So he decides, I'm going to come up. He doesn't know what this cult is. He just, like, has heard that they like his kind. Mm-hmm. So he comes up looking to see if he can find a roommate. And then it turns out it's a fucking sex cult, which he thinks is both uncomfortable and hilarious because they have, like, spiked dicks and they cannot breed with humans without killing them.
Wow.
So, like, this whole sex cult, like, it's been, like, hundreds of years or, like, 100 years since, like, anybody's, like, actually ever mated with one of the demigurgis or, like, left with one. So they have, like, this whole idea in their head that they have, like, these magical dicks. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, literally, I cannot have sex with you without killing you.
Wow.
But he takes Beryl home with him. The cult's like, he likes her because she's the only one staring at him angry. And she just wants to get out, but she has like no work history, has no way of like getting a job in the human world. So she's just like, I'll go with you and be your roommate and have an adventure. He's a little younger, I think, in like human years, but he's actually older and I don't know. They're about
that reminds me of older. That Vine. And it's like, and they were roommates. Oh yeah. My God, they were roommates.
That's one of my, I bought my room, my best friend and I lived together with my husband for a little bit. And I bought her one of those stickers because we used to joke all the time. And they were roommates. I don't want to get too far into it, but basically that's like the first chapter. But basically it is a femdom book. The heroine has vaginismus, which every time I say it sounds like the wrong way to pronounce that. But vaginismus. I don't know. But that is like the aversion to penetration. So there's no real medical, like she even acknowledges, she's like, I don't think there's a medical reason. I think it's like it's a mental block, but she has no interest in changing it. So don't worry if like you don't want to see a magic dick. There's no magic dick in this book. She never gets penetrated except her mouth. And he has a spiked dick, so they couldn't anyways. Mm. Like, when he comes, like, spikes, like, fly out of his dick and, like, impale the woman. Yeah, basically. I'm, like, doing it with
my hand. Katana wins!
Yeah. But it's femdom, so he also really likes being dominated. He's, like, tied up at one point. There's a lot of edging going on. Blowjobs. Yeah. He's, like, desperate to give her oral. Absolutely desperate for it. But it was really, it's just like a really cute book. Like it is spicy, but it's just definitely a slower burn. Mm-hmm. And he's like very worried about putting her off. Cause like she lives with him and depends on him. She gets like a job. And he's super supportive. He's crazy introverted, like does not want to make friends outside of Beryl basically. And she's like, doesn't want to change him. She's like, that's fine. So yeah, it was just, it's a very, very different kind of read. So, but it was a lot of fun. But it was slow. Like, I was able to put it down a lot. Because, yeah, it is, like, there's sexy scenes, but then there's a lot of, like, quote-unquote filler where they're just living their lives. So if you like books where, like, it's not just go, go, go the entire time, like, you do get some of that, like, mundane living, mm-hmm. right, like, you know, plot points. Slice of life. That's what I'm looking for. I know some mm-hmm. people like those books. So,
yeah,
it was really good, though. So I gave it 5 stars. Because I would probably read it again for... I don't know that I'd reread the entire book start to finish again mm-hmm. because that's not how I ever reread my books. Okay. But some of those sex scenes were like...
A plus.
Yeah.
See, when I reread a book, I like reread a book. No. I have reread my next 5-star recommendation and I have some very exciting news about this one. It's the third book in a series, the Campus Wallflower series. The book is called Scoring the Player by Rebecca Jenchak. It's like a fake... Oh, yeah. Dating, but she has just recently put all of her books onto Kindle Unlimited.
So I that have was really exciting.
This was like behind a paywall, and I like happily did it. My friend Renee was so fucking kind. She sent me a paperback of the book, and I lost my shiznit. Honestly, like I just love this series. And when I was laid up with COVID the first time, well, the first round of whatever the fuck that was crazy, man. It was so fucked up. I read a Rebecca Jenchak book a day, and I'd also like just keep inboxing her, like being really annoying. I was like, these books have saved my life. You've saved me. And then she started like pity following me, which is really fucking cool. And yeah, like I would not be Rebecca Jenchak.
Yeah, please pity follow us. We love it. Please.
Yeah. There's nothing better. And then I was also
there's no shame.
Another 5-star book that I've like started rereading again is Icebreaker by Hannah Grace. That's like pretty.
I still haven't read it.
You got it.
I feel like it's a very polarizing book. Like I feel like people either loved it or hated it.
Do you know? Okay, so this is like spoilers for this, guys. There is a lot of dialogue. Like these kids, like they talk. You know what I mean? Like this is, you know, it's they work through their shit. They're really accountable. Like Nate is, he's just like a cute little boyfriend. And I'm excited for the second book. I'm like. So fucking keen for that one.
The main thing though that I don't think that just anybody would know this, but the main complaint I've seen on Reddit about it from people who actually understand figure skating mm-hmm. is that it like opens with her trying a move or like practicing a move that like is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly difficult. Like the pros can't even do it. And she's like in college or something. And well, people were like, what? There's no way that this college girl could do, like, literally no one can do this move. Like,
I think she can. That's, okay, because this
that's
is
the only thing I've heard.
And that was, yeah, well, the other thing as well is like, Hannah.
But I'm like, that's a niche group. Like, how many people out there, like, genuinely could pick that out of the book and have actual knowledge of figure skating? It's such a niche sport.
Yeah. I agree. So, I agree.
But the people who do know are really mad about it.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to those people, but there's that book fucking slapped. And the second book is going to
be. Okay, I guess I got
to
read it.
So, come the we fuck did, on Wildfire.
Did we do hockey recommendations or just MM? No, we did hockey. All hockey. All
we
hockey,
did hockey
right.
recommendations. You did like the MM side of things, and I did the straight sex.
Right.
Ew.
I actually have iced out by, is it C.E. Richie?
Or how do you, okay, so I say it's C.E., but apparently it might just be like C. Richie.
Was it?
But that book is fucking really good. I reckon you'll really like it.
Yeah, it's on my Kindle right now.
Yeah, so, good. It's like super easy to read. Like, I feel like you would really appreciate that book. And it is. It's like
speaking though.
Yeah.
Of MM hockey.
Oh yes. This is Kate's downward spiral on her fucking holiday.
Well, I finally. So last year I read Heated Rivalry, or maybe even a little bit longer than a year ago. I think my son was like breastfeeding when I read Heated Rivalry, and then I read The Long Game when it came out, which is the sequel to Heated Rivalry, which is really interesting because it's like, it's the Game Changer series. And I think Heated Rivalry is book 2, maybe. And then The Long Game is like book like 6 or something. So it's like, she did book 2 and it ended on like a happily for now because the characters aren't
out.
If you don't want to listen to this, but like they're not out at the end of
Heated Rivalry. Let me just sidebar here.
They're still secret.
Romance novels follow a formula. Like, if you think that you're going to be spoiled for a romance novel, please, like, we need to...
Well, it's just, like, because you would expect... I know some people don't like happily for nows. They want, like, things to be secure. And so it does kind of end on a cliffy. And it makes me wonder, though, like, if she always had the plan for the long game, or if, like, she planned on just having their story, like, be a part of the rest of the series. Like, you know, like, we learn about them coming out through someone else's story. Or, yeah, I guess I just don't know. So... But I read the rest of the series finally. So I was like, fuck it. My library has it. I'm just going to read the rest of the series. So I read all the Game Changer series. None of them are as good as Heated Rivalry. But Heated Rivalry would be like a 6 out of 5 stars. Ooh. So the others were still 5 stars.
Yep.
Heated Rivalry is just like, literally, I'm in withdrawal.
Okay.
I just want a like cocky, bisexual Russian man with a confidence of... I don't know what has a lot of confidence. Like a monkey living in a zoo? I don't know.
A confidence of a Leo.
Okay, we'll go Zodiac. Yeah, we'll go Zodiac. Yeah. But he has so much confidence, and he's so sweet, and he's so... And I'm like, I cannot recover from Ilya. I am sick to my stomach. I almost never get straight-up book boyfriends, where I'm like obsessed with them. I am obsessed with Ilya.
But the whole series was good. He wouldn't like you.
No. But he bangs women.
Okay, but you're pregnant.
But he wouldn't, but he wouldn't like me.
So
he has, I believe, done. No, I don't think he's done a threesome. Like, I feel like he would do a threesome.
Mm-hmm. With you and your husband?
No.
Yeah.
With hotter people.
You're gorgeous. Those cheekbones are fucking to die for. Like a great cheese on those bad boys.
Now I'm too depressed.
You have, like, Tim Burton cheekbones. Respectfully.
Thank you.
I was saying that about my cat. I was like, why does she look like a fucking Tim Burton character?
She does. Nothing it's the eyeliner.
Upstairs. Silly little bitch. I just feel like I don't read many 5-star books because I don't really rate books. Like, I have to love a book and then I'm like, yeah, I'll give it 5 stars. Or then I will, like, rate a book 2 stars. Because you know that the 2-star ratings when you hate a book... Like, 1 star is just like, fuck this book. 2 stars, I write like a dissertation on that fucking Goodreads review. And the amount of people who like come back at it. Like, one person commented on a review that I wrote. And like, you know, they're all my opinions. I'm not saying that like the author of it is a terrible person. I'm just like, this did not jive with me. And someone was like, I love this book. And I'm like, I love that for you. Like, I'm not going to engage on a fight. Like, if you loved a book, it was not for me.
I pointed out, I gave you a 5,000 word document about why this book was not a vibe. And it is what it is.
So, and it'll help somebody else.
Oh, like so many other people were like, yeah, this was fucked. I was like, thank you for validating me. It's all I want in life. To be validated, yeah. To be loved, to be adored, appreciated, and just recognized for the contribution that I make to humanity.
So you don't have any other 5-star reviews?
I do. I've got a whole list here, but I mean...
Oh, keep going then. Do another one.
Oh, yeah. I've got, like, The Havoc Boys by Sis.
God damn it.
Take a shot. And then that was the other thing. So every time we were like, take a shot, I'm like, I'll take a shot, Katie. Are you going to take a shot? Pregosaurus Rex. Little Prego waddling around with her pregnant ass. There's a baby hanging out you.
What the fuck?
So The Havoc Boys by Sam Strange. I never recommend this to anyone. This is one of my favorite series of all time. It is the stupidest, stupidest fucking series. Like, these people are in high school. They're like 6'4" men. It's a white shoes. It's this chick, Bernadette Black. Bird, is that a black? Yeah, Blackbird, I'm pretty sure. And these 5 guys have been in love with her forever. And, you know, their names start with H-A-V-O-N-C. And the worst thing about the fucking book spines that.
Yeah, what is it? What's the worst thing?
The worst thing about the book spines is that in, like, because the books are called Havoc at Prescott High, Chaos, Mayhem, Anarchy, and Victory. So the word Havoc could be spelt if you had the books out of order. But it says. Havco, and my husband Connor loves being like, ah, time to reread Havco, isn't it, Mickey?
I don't understand.
And they're off center as well. That's the other part. Kate's a Virgo, so that is a big fucking problem for her to have to see that.
It's just disrespectful.
It is. Yeah. Let's confront her about it.
Get her on the pod.
I don't think she'd be like, nah. She's like, I know about you too. I don't want to do it. Absolutely not. I don't think that when we had Emily Rath on, I don't think that she realized what she was getting herself into. And Emily Rath, in the last like month or two, she has managed to get every Australian ice hockey team a TikTok. And those men are over there just selling their bussies for views. Bless them. The Brisbane team, I have threatened them so many times with like podcasts and stuff. Sort of teased them a little bit. I was like, I just need like a private school boy because I know that you've got one of them. Private schools are so expensive here. There's like this one. I was like, I just know that one of you guys like went to like Churchy or Nudgee or Padua and they're like $25,000 a year each. I don't love my kids that much. I'm telling you that for free.
My nanny kid went to a $33,000 a year preschool.
Mm-hmm. I hope that he becomes a bartender.
It's a girl.
Okay, well, I hope she becomes a bartender.
Her mom's a lawyer, so she definitely has some powerful female role model going
well,
on.
Well, you know, that's nice, but...
We'll see.
I would rather spend money on myself, personally.
Give it 20 years.
Yeah, okay. We'll check back on that. We'll still be here, still talking about our sex books, our 5-star reads. What else have we got? Let's do one more, because let's keep this one under an hour. Do you think we can do it, guys? When we've spent 6 minutes total talking about actual books.
No. This is how life is. People missed you. They wanted to get some feedback on your life. Okay. I will just throw out there another MM. Mm-hmm. I believe I might have mentioned it, but Waiting for You by Cora Rose.
Oh, yeah.
And I've talked about Cora Rose before. Her books are crazy pants. Like, she just leans into all the tropes, which is great. She... isn't afraid to just make nonsense plots where like people are betting each other if they can fit their dicks in their ass. And it's like, good for you. Like sometimes you don't want to read realistic stuff. Sometimes you do want to read just like people giving in to their base instincts and just like fucking. In this one though, it is, I don't remember character names. So there's a dad character and his son and him are supposed to go on a road trip. His son bails. He's not very close to his son. He's divorced. His son bails, and his son's best friend, who has been in love with daddy forever, is like, okay, I'll just go with you. Like, we'll have a road trip. You don't have to cancel. Like, let me go with you.
What's the worst that could happen?
No, they fuck a lot. Yeah.
What in the Latte Darling by S.J. Tilley is that?
Yeah. also a good one. Yeah, and this one, though, I love it because, like, the dad's actually kind of submissive. So you have, like, this 18-year-old kid, basically, who is just, like, wearing the dad down. Like, the dad's trying his absolute best to be like, I will not fuck my son's best friend. And the son's best friend is like, yo, you know, you're going to fuck me.
Yeah, you need
and
to
actually,
fuck
he me. Ends up fucking the dad. He fucks the dad. There's, like, a really hot scene where he makes the dad, like, get down on his knees, like, in an RV kitchen and just, like, blowjob city.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was very hot. It was probably my favorite book by Cora Rose so far. It was so
I good. Have so many books, but I also know that I'm in a bad mood, so I can't read any of these.
Yeah, no, you can't. You have to wait. You have to take your time.
Mm. I need to, like watch some heal, TV or something.
Heal mentally, heal physically, and then take on the good books. We need to retract right now.
Mm. Retract like a dick.
It's been a really long time since we've read KU Novella Smut.
Exactly. So that's our call to action for you guys. We need you guys hitting our inbox, letting us know what you want to see. Because it has, it's been a hot minute since we've done a theme.
I actually thought it would be great to do an episode on books because of what you said about Havoc. Books that you love that you never recommend.
Ooh.
And we want you to recommend those books to us.
Yeah.
The book that you, I hate the term guilty pleasure when it comes to romance novels because I don't believe they are guilty pleasures. They are just pleasures. But there are certain books within romance novels that are guilty pleasures. And I want you, listener, to dredge up like the book you are like most ashamed of. Like maybe it's the book you like jerk off to or something. If you're Colleen a guy, Hoover. Like don't.
Colleen Hoover's
don't
for the it. Halloween episode. No Colleen
yeah.
Hoover.
If you're, do not you're recommend a Colleen Hoover.
Or Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah. But I want the book that like you reread over and over and over again. But if somebody asked you if you'd read it, you'd probably say no. I want that level of shame.
Mm. And we won't name you. This is
no.
It's just fine.
Yeah. So pop into our DMs. We'll put it in our stories too. But definitely wreck that shit to us. That's what we want. I can't promise it'll be next month's episode, but it will be an episode.
It'll be something. So, yeah. We'll be kicking around, doing our thing, shaking our pussies.
Stop. Fucking hate that word. It's just
well, I call my friend a clussy, which is like a clown pussy.
Okay, well now it's just out of hand. Now it's getting fucking weird. It's just such a weird word. I don't have a problem with the context of the word. It's the word itself, like the noise it makes, just makes me go. Bleh.
What about thrussy?
That one's not as bad.
That's your throat pussy.
Yeah. I don't know. That one actually has a nice ring to it.
Throssy. Put it in my throssy way.
They got to stop with this.
I can't.
Just call it a throat.
I'm back. Tell a friend to tell a friend she's back.
Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this week's episode of Up the Smut with me, Kate, and Michaela.
Are you happy COVID that I'm ring? Back? I feel like people are not going to be like, they're going to be like, oh, fuck.
I'm glad. I didn't like talking to myself for like two episodes. It made me very uncomfortable. I'm not a good guest.
You're a great
I should have just interviewed myself. I should have like been both parts. Interrupting myself. Yeah. But I loved having Carmen on. She has a wealth of knowledge with monster romances. So that was if you haven't listened to that episode.
I turned off ACOTAR really happily to listen to that episode. That was a really fun one. I loved it. And also loved hearing from Mummy as well.
Oh, yeah. Forgot you. I got to have her read something, my mom, because she loved being on it. And I think it would be absolutely hilarious if she had to read Minotaur porn.
Yeah, 100%. I've got to read that one too then.
I actually read, it wasn't a 5-star because I thought he was kind of a whiny little bitch. But I read the Blue Ribbon romance, which is Morning Glory Milking Farm from the guy's point of view, from Rourke's point of view. It was a 4-star because I was like, if I had known that this was what was going on in his head, I would have throat punched him.
I would have punched him with this guy.
Whiny. He's a little whiny. But at the same time, it was hilarious because I thought his internal monologue was completely different from the persona he like put off in Morning Glory Milking Farm, where he's like, it was so funny to get in his head because you think he's like stoic and in control, and the whole time he's just like, God, I hope she likes me. I hope she likes me. Like, he's just like, like the entire book is him like not being cool, calm, and collected at all. He's just like in panic mode the whole time. You get a lot of like his point of view about how good her blow or her, not her blow jobs, but her hand jobs are, which I did really appreciate. It was in great detail. Like, you can get some tips, not you specifically, but like anybody, you like get some tips. But yeah, so it made me laugh that. So it was 4 stars because I probably won't reread it because I don't want to. but I loved reading it in the moment. I had a bunch of stuff on here. Like, I know we said we were done, but I also read Archer's Voice because people kept telling me to read Archer's Voice by Mia Sheridan because it it fits a lot of the things I always ask for, which is like a quiet, nerdy mountain man dude. Like, that's my thing. It was a 3-star read for me. I was like, In fairness, I said I would have probably been madly obsessed with it if I had read it in the beginning of my romance career. If I had read this book while I was like 18 to 20 years old, I would have been like, fuck yes. But reading it now, I was like, it's lacking severely in character development and like the insta-lust just didn't like work for me. I didn't feel the connection between the characters.
Yeah, I'm literally pulling up my Goodreads right now. Like, I can't even see Kate. I'm holding the microphone like a fucking newborn baby. Because I read this book so long ago. Like, so long ago. To see this book come back, it was like
Bloom,
jarring.
Bloom by Sourcebooks got it, picked it up, and repubbed it. And so that's my mom got Travis and Grayson, I think. Those books in the series, but she didn't get Archer's Voice from the publisher. And so I had to go buy Archer's Voice so I could then read Travis and Grayson.
Oh, you don't need to. No, because these – okay, so I read this in 2016, which is like literally a lifetime ago. Like,
shit, that is. Holy shit.
So 2016. So this was touted as Signs of Love. So I don't know if there's been any rewriting, but I know that Archer, because like – if anyone knows anything about astrology, is that he's a Sagittarius. So the archer is the symbol of Sagittarius. And then the other books that I've read in this series are Stinger and Kyland, I want to say. Because the old cover was just like hot guy.
Yeah.
Back,
you know? Oh, shit. I think I have those books too.
Yeah. So like they're super, super old. Do you know what I mean? So Stinger was Scorpio and the chick was a Cancer. And Kyland, I'm pretty sure the Kyland one was fucking crazy because it was sort of like they're in like the mountains or something. They were like, it reminded me of like that movie Coal Miner's Daughter, because they like lived in this like, and but also like the Hunger Games, but not post-apocalyptic. They were just like these like Darrow poor people like living in a shanty, like, but not in like a bad way, like just a small little mining town. So Kyland was Taurus, and yeah, like I feel like the books all kind of had the same sort of theme, and there was really this weird shit that happened in every single epilogue. I won't spoil it because I know that sometimes people like love an epilogue, but I will tell Kate when we are finished recording. Yeah, it was like some bizarre shit. But yeah, like seeing those books come back again, I was like, wow, like who did this? Like, who was responsible for this shit? But I mean, that's fine. Get that bag, honey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I will read at least enough. I got it. I'll read at least one more of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Travis.
I wouldn't recommend it to be any of those.
Shit. So I feel like I got to read Travis.
Yeah. I just feel like, I don't know. It was fine at the time. Like, yeah, back in like 2016.
Yeah. That's so many years ago. It was a product of its time period. For
100%, sure. 100%.
Like, as I was reading it, I was like, I can see why all these people loved it, but I have to wonder if they read it recently and they're recommending it, or if they read it when it came out, or like, you know, back when they were a little bit younger, because the quality, just like the actual quality of the writing was fine.
Yeah.
But the quality of like the story and like the pacing and everything was like way off.
Yeah.
I described it to somebody. I was like, it's like reading a slightly more romantic Nicholas Sparks book.
Yeah. I agree.
That
with
was that, like 100%. The vibe of it.
The level of like tragedy in it. And
yeah,
like, the
I just felt like I was reading
character.
A Nicholas. It was like The Notebook. I felt like I was reading The fucking Notebook.
Yeah.
But like with an HEA. Yeah. I mean, I guess The Notebook does have an HEA, but
I guess if you're a bird, then I'm a bird.
Yeah.
So let's fly the fuck out.
I'm not comparing the two plots. They were completely, they were not the same plot, but like the vibe. The vibe. Okay. So we just kept going. We just kept going there.
Love. Well, I mean, would it be a little reunion? Yeah. So I'm trying to convince Kate to name this episode Bella, Where You Been, Loca? But I don't think she's going to go for it.
I'm worried somebody's going to think it's a Twilight recap episode and then be really disappointed.
I would, if I was looking for Twilight and I found this, I would be thrilled. Just saying. Okay?
That's fair. We should read Twilight and break that down too, though.
Let's just read 50 Shades of Grey. That was another thing I did when I was sick, guys. I watched the 50 Shades of Grey marathon.
I never saw the third movie.
You're not missing out on much.
Honestly. I went and saw the second movie with my mom in theaters for some reason. With my mother.
Yeah.
Why? Why
nothing happens in those books or movies.
We laughed the whole time.
Yeah, good.
But I was like, why did I see this with my mom?
That's I'm so upset about girls it. Do.
But now I want to rewatch. It makes me cringe. I do not like watching people kiss or more on television. I am not a fan. I close my eyes every time. I will watch somebody be gutted. I will not watch somebody be kissed. It is disgusting to me. That's why I read it. I want a picture to my own brain. I don't want somebody to force the picture into my brain. Anyways, I should rewatch them though. Force myself to.
Let's just make rewatch eye The Hating Game. That's a good fun time.
Actually, it was. It was good. I have no complaints about that movie. 100%.
Loved it. Loved it.
Yeah. Okay. Love all it, right. Love well, now we're at 102. We tried our best to be under an hour, and it just didn't happen, guys. So sorry. I know you guys are really disappointed in us. Maybe next time. Every time. We'll just keep trying. Okay. We got this.
We got this.
All right. Drop into our DMs. Let us know your thoughts. Yeah. Give Michaela well wishes and welcome backs or whatever. I don't know.
And tell your dad that I said hi.
She's back, bitches.
She's back.
And she's weirder than ever.
Woo! All
right, stay smutty. Oh, did I say smutty or slutty or sputty? I don't know.
Why not?
Stay smutty, stay slutty, and read whatever the fuck you want. Bye.